This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert will be back with me tomorrow. Coming up in a few minutes, a new study published in Nature on climate change got a lot of attention. We'll find out what's going on and how it might affect us. First, we have Chris Molina and Judith Sears-Poisson, both producers here at Wisconsin Public Radio, to talk to you about our fall membership drive.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here, and it's great to share information with all of you, like the fact that listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. That's huge, and that's why your gift is so important. And just as a little added incentive, a little cherry on the cake and the frosting on the something, if you make a pledge today, your pledge of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for an iPad. So do it now. Why not? Take that chance. Make your gift any amount right now. WPR.org 888-202-2552. Chris, how are we doing on our goal?
We're doing pretty good on our goal. We're looking for 25 more pledges in the next half an hour or so. Thank you so much if you've already given. Maybe you've been listening to Central Time all afternoon. You gave in the 3 o'clock hour or you gave in the 4 o'clock hour. Thank you so much if you made a pledge this afternoon or during this fall membership drive. But if you haven't made a pledge, well, I'm here to tell you that now is a great time to do it. So please help us stay on track by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And on Central Time, you get the news of the day, which is really important, but you also get interesting topics like ethical parenting or the golden age of TV theme songs. I'm not going to sing the Brady Bunch song, unless someone makes a really big pledge and asks
what
for it.
What about Gilligan's Island?
No.
Okay.
No. Again, for a really big pledge, maybe.
Okay.
But I don't think anyone would enjoy that. Central Time is your go-to place for not just informative programming, but interesting programming in the afternoon.
And your financial support is a big part of what makes these hours possible. Listener support is the single biggest piece of our funding here at WPR. So please make a contribution right now. Be the one that helps us fund great programming here on WPR. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, looking for 25 more pledges before 6 o'clock. You know, a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card. Many people start with $5, $10, or $15 a month, but you choose whatever amount's right for you.
In the long run, the more sustainers we have, the less we'll have to rely on pledge drives to ask for support. So it's a win-win situation. More sustainers, less pledge drive. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
You've got something dynamite. I mean, I just want to give the biggest, most sincere thanks to the people that had this as their brainchild and that worked to see it to its fruition. You know, it's one of the tools of democracy that we have. We don't have town hall meetings anymore, but we do have an electronic town hall meeting on the Ideas Network.
You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Judith Sears-Poisson, happy to be here with Chris Molina, asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much in advance for your gift. Maybe it's $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount is right for you is the right amount. Make that donation right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we've said it a couple of times, and we'll keep saying it. Listeners do provide the single biggest piece of our budget here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's what makes us unique, and it's what makes us great. So please make that pledge right now. And when you do, as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, we're going to enter you in that drawing for an iPad. That's happening today, and today only. So make that pledge right now. Get entered to win an iPad. You could be the lucky winner with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 25 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so. Don't forget, we also have that great new WPR travel mug. You can get that with a pledge of $15 a month or more. It's handy. It's a great reminder, not just of how much you enjoy WPR, but that you're part of supporting it. Get that travel mug now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we have a comment from Catherine from Green Bay who says, I am going to school and living in Grenada and listen to WPR every night.
Wow.
WPR keeps me up to date on what is happening back home in Wisconsin and gives me a break from my studies. Wow, we had talked before about how Wisconsin Public Radio is not just Wisconsin. Here we are with a listener in Grenada. That's awesome. Catherine, thank you so much for your pledge. We're looking for your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Judith, Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
Talk to you again in a little bit with hopefully some good news. If you haven't pledged yet, make that pledge now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A new study published in Nature on climate change created quite a stir last week. The new paper predicts the coldest years in the future will be hotter than the hottest years now. By future, we're talking in the neighborhood of 2047, not that far off at all. Here to explain this this finding is the paper's lead scientist, Camilo Mora. He's a professor in the Department of Geography at the University of Hawaii. Camilo, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So what were I touched on the key findings there, but tell us, what's the big news from the data crunching you did?
Yes, so basically what we found is that when you take all of the climate models that are out there, some 39 models developed by 12 countries around the world, all of these models are telling you that by the year 2047, on average, the average location on the planet will exceed any historical extreme climatic event that we have seen in the last 150 years. This prediction among all of the models, there was an error of about 5 years, just giving you some sense of confidence, given the amount of models that we analyzed that this thing is happening and it's real.
So we talk about global warming in terms of, you know, the temperature of the Earth is going to go up 2 or 3 degrees on average. That doesn't sound like a big deal, the temperature changes like that. Why? How would that actually play out from place to place?
Yes, so that is the general conversation on climate change. How much is the climate going to change? However, we took a different approach to this, and we asked the question, when is the climate from a given location going to be beyond anything that specific location has seen in the last 150 years? What we found there is that the focus on absolute changes on the climate can be misleading to some degree, because some of the largest changes that you expect from climate change will happen at higher latitudes, or index suggests quite the opposite. It is expected that the largest impacts from climate change are likely to happen in the tropics. The reason being that the tropics are very stable, thus these small changes could easily exceed what the species can tolerate on this region.
So why would it hit the tropics first and hardest?
The reason being, again, that the tropics are very stable. The climate of the tropics is very stable. So very small changes in the climate could easily exceed any historical precedents on that region. At higher latitudes, in contrast, the climate is very variable. Then it's very hard for climate change to exceed those historical backgrounds.
Oh, I see. So further north or south, I guess, at the poles, they see more extreme fluctuations, so maybe it's not a big deal, or as big a deal, I guess.
Exactly. In fact, the species are most likely adapted to these massive swings on the climate. In the tropics, in the contrast, the species are used to having their climate being the same all year around.
So why should we worry about the tropics? What kind of impact on species could it have there on wildlife in the water and on land?
That is one of the second implications on this paper. We analyzed data on the distribution of some 340,000 species from different groups, and what we found is that the largest diversity of species on the planet are located in the tropics. And unfortunately, these places with high number of species are going to be the places that will have climate change the first. It follows that we as humans, we depend on those species for multiple things, for food, jobs, revenues. So you can expect that with these changes in biodiversity, people is going to be impacted as well.
Are you hearing from a lot of biologists wanting to hear more about your findings and people who are worried about this?
Absolutely. I mean, we got all kind of responses from email, from people that completely deny the existence of this science to people that is completely supportive of it. I'm a scientist. However, one of the coolest things that I found is that there has been an incredible support among scientists of these findings, which, of course, gives me some relief as a scientist myself.
So looking at these models, the year 2047, is that fixed or can that be pushed back at all?
Yes. No, that can be pushed into the future. We analyze another scenario in which we take a very rapid and concerted mitigation of greenhouse gases now And what we found is that we can push that timing by some 20 years into the future. And again, it might not look like a lot of time, but perhaps 20 years is all what we need for somebody to come out with a technological development that could fix this, but also for a species to adapt. Just keep in mind, if you are on a highway and you see a threat in front of you, the first reaction should be to step on the brake, not to step on the gas. Here we have seen this threat of climate change, and we need to step on the brake on these changes that are coming from that. We better take that at a slow speed than at a very high speed, and that's kind of our recommendation coming from these results.
So, yeah, 20 years doesn't sound like much, but it might buy us time to get a technological solution. Are you hopeful that a couple extra decades can make a difference there?
I had a lot of faith that on us that we can come up with something to fix this. I mean, I had to have the hope. I am a parent myself, and I just had to think that that will be the case.
So you mentioned you got responses from people who don't buy the concept of climate change and global warming. Some people say, you know what, you're working with data from computer models. They're maybe good models, but they're not perfect. How reliable do you think the data is that you're working with in the first place?
There is part of the confidence on the result comes from the fact that we analyze not one, not two, but 39 models. These models are developed independently by people around the world. These scientists, they don't speak the same language. They come from countries with different political agendas, and all of these models are coinciding on that result. That's part of my confidence on the results as well.
One of your quotes that got a lot of headlines, literally it made the headlines or sub-headlines, is that in a lot of places anyway, the coldest year in the future is going to be hotter than the hottest year now. Is that really true? Are the reporters getting that right?
That is exactly correct from the data that we presented. The new low will be the old maximum.
All right. And what were you hoping to accomplish with getting this paper out there? I mean, some of it, a lot of this is saying things that scientists have been saying already, more or less.
Yes. At the end of the day, my motivation as a scientist is for this to make a difference, of course. And that's pretty much all what I can expect. Among scientists, we are already pretty certain that this is happening. Right now, our level of confidence is 95%, which is the largest confidence that you can expect from a scientist. We are already at that level. So it's now up to people to start acting on this science, and I guess that's our next challenge.
So looking at that year, 2047, I think a lot of people are thinking climate change, even if they take it seriously as a problem, it's something that's a few more generations off. I mean, there's a shot I'll still be alive, knock wood, in 2047, my kids, definitely. Do you feel like people are starting to get a sense of urgency when we're talking about that time frame?
I think that part of the motivation or interest in this paper comes from that, is that it puts a very clear sense of urgency. This is not really that far into the future. This is just 34 years from now. I am 38. By the time that this is coming down, I will be 72. I'm hoping to be there when this thing is going to happen. So I think that a lot of people is being shocked by this, by the fact that they were thinking that this is something that their children or grandchildren were going to see. What this data is now saying, no, this is something that you are going to live yourself.
Now, you're based there in Hawaii. Are there things in your backyard that you're particularly worried about when it comes to climate change impact?
Yes, we are developing several projects right now to find out what are the economic implications on this. Keep in mind that, for instance, here the state, a large part of the GDP comes from tourism, and the people come here just because they want to see nature, they want to see the forest, and they want to see the coral reefs. So to what degree are these species going to be impacted by climate change and by the fall of the GDP of the state? So we are trying to develop, to put some numbers into how that is going to influence us.
And do you have a sense, I don't know if you broke it down this carefully, of what maybe we in the Midwest of the United States could see?
We, as part of this paper, we developed an interactive map that you can go anywhere in the world. It could be your own house. You click on it, and you can see the temporal variation of climate change during the last 150 years, and when is climate on that specific place going to become unprecedented. And again, that data is provided for every single location in the planet. You can just go to our webpage and get a look at how the climate is going to be there where you are.
What's that webpage?
It's on my webpage on Mora Lab at the University of Hawaii.
All right, we'll try to dig that up and put it on the Central Time Facebook page. Camilo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Camilo Mora. He's a professor in the Department of Geography at the University of Hawaii. Stick around. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.